Okay, in Joshua chapter 24, once you've found your place there, please be upstanding in respect and reverence to the Word of God this morning. We're going to read two verses, but throughout the message we'll touch on different verses in chapter 23 and 24. Starting from verse 14 in Joshua 24, the Bible says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Father in heaven, Lord God, we come before you this morning asking that you'd bless your word to our hearts and grant to us understanding and help us, dear God, by your grace and wisdom to be doers of thy word. Help, Father, the ones that do not know you as their Lord and Savior, do not have a relationship with you. Speak to their hearts, I pray. Father, edge it in their hearts that you love them and you want and you desire a relationship with them. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you knew that you didn't have long to live, what would be your last words to your family and friends? What exhortation or encouragement would you give them? What would it be that you'd say to them? What kind of admonishment would you relate to them on your dying bed? Joshua had many things to say before his departure. He encouraged them, first of all, to in verse 6 in chapter 23, to courageously keep the word of God. He says there, "And be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses." That word courageous is to fasten on. It's to be strong, to be firm in and to grow in. And he says to them, "I want you to be very courageous. I want you to be very strong in doing the word of God." Psalm 119 and verse 9, the Bible says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." And notice what he says here, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee." Be very courageous, with your whole heart, wanting to keep and observe the law of the Lord. And why? That we may not displease the Lord, we may not displease him and sin against him. Joseph said these words, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" David said something similar, and he said, "Against thee and thee only, God, have I sinned." And so to do or keep the word of the Lord, to keep it with our whole hearts, is to have a sensitivity not to sin against God, not to displease Him. Another reason why we should strive to keep the word of the Lord with our whole hearts is that we can please the Lord. Joshua chapter 1 and beginning from verse 7, notice what the Bible says, "Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make my way," what? "Prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Also, the Bible mentions in verse 7 of chapter 23, not only that we keep the word of God courageously, but also conform not to this world. Joshua chapter 23 and verse 7, "That ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither" what? "Serve them, nor bow yourself unto them." Now, I know I've mentioned this before, but I'll do it again for the sake of context and the sake of trying to understand what the modern day idol it is for us. Living in the 21st century, what do you think are the perhaps three or two or whatever it is, greatest idols in our day? Okay. That's some 2 Timothy chapter 3. Thank you for that. And verse 2, the Bible says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." That is the modern day idol today. It's not getting a statue and bowing down to that statue. We don't see a lot happening with that here in Australia, maybe other countries that are poor. But in our country, the rich country, we see a lot of self-worship. And not only that, verse 4, the Bible says, "Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." Loving the entertainment life, if you would, the pleasures of this life. These are the two top idols today. And the Bible wants us to put these far away from us. Self-worship, idol worship, men worship, Australian idol, The Voice, this idol, that idol. There's a lot of men worship, isn't there, in our day? God doesn't want us to conform to that kind of worship. God wants first place. Now, the Old Testament God, the God of Joshua, challenges them to not conform to their ways, to come out of the nations and put away their gods. And so the same God in the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. Paul the Apostle speaking to the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16, he says, "And what agreement have the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." James also mentions in 4:4 that we ought not to be a friend of the world. You see, he goes on to say that a friend of the world is enmity with God. And it's very clear that we can be the enemies of God by befriending the world. So he wants us to not be conformed to the world. He wants us to come out from among them. Joshua also gives warning in this point in verse 16 of chapter 23. And he says, "When ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given you." But another thing Joshua mentions, not only to courageously keep the word of God, and not only to conform not to this world, but also number three, to cleave to God and love him. Notice verse 8, "But cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day." Verse 11, he says, "Take good heed therefore unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God." And by the way, you cannot cleave before you leave. You must leave. For a good cleaving to God must be a forsaking, if you would, a leaving. This is why the Bible mentions that if you want to be cleaving or clinging to your wife, you need to leave your mother and your father, amen? And then you cleave to your wife. That word cleave is to cling, to stick, to stay close to keep close to follow or to join to. And God wants us to be joint to him. Let me just say, because it's the month of family, let me encourage you, husbands, stay close to your wives. Stay close to them. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And do not be bitter against them," verses according to Colossians. Don't be bitter to your wives, but love them, cling to them, cleave to them and stay close to them. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 5, beginning from verse 18, "Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with thy wife, with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind in a pleasant roe, that her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger?" Let me just say this. Let your wife be the only one in your life. Amen? Let your wife be the only one in your life. Cling to her, cleave to her. There's no need to go off with strangers and go and entertain those thoughts or entertain those ways. And by God's grace and mercy that we'd lay down our lives and cleave and cling to them and love them and cherish them. And God wants the same. He wants to be first place. We must cleave to the Lord. Notice what Paul says to the Thessalonians in verse 9 of chapter 1. For they themselves show of what manner of entering in we had unto them. How ye turn to God from idols to serve the living God. There must be a turning away. There must be a leaving before we can cleave to God. He wants us to cleave to Him. In Joshua chapter 24 verses 1 to 13, he gives like a little history lesson. He reminds them of the idol worship that had taken place long before the flood. And now Abraham at that time was led out to dwell in the land of Canaan, and how he would multiply his seed and bless him with Isaac. And Isaac had Jacob and Esau, and Jacob would dwell in the land of Egypt with his children. And God makes mention how God uses Moses and Aaron to deliver the children of Israel out of the hand of Pharaoh and out of the bondage of Egypt, and how he destroyed them and delivered them and gave them the land of the Amorites. And now how God was with them and gave them victory after victory till now. He gives them that little history lesson that you cleaved to the Lord until now. And I'm saying before I go, just keep cleaving. Just keep close to the Lord God. We have a record of Joshua being no doubt a true servant of the Lord. In verse 29 of chapter 24, notice what it says about Joshua. Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. Imagine having that kind of label to you or to on your tombstone. Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord. Knowing that you'd finish your task, being a servant of the Lord, standing your ground, cleaving to God, being courageous and keeping His word, and not being conformed to the fashions of this life, but being a servant of the Lord. What is a servant of the Lord? You may ask this morning. Well, a servant of the Lord is one that is a worshiper of God. He has only one master. Notice verse 7 again in Joshua chapter 23. He says that ye come not among these nations, these that ye remain among you, neither make mention of the names of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither, what is it? Serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. So serving the Lord is to serve God and worship God, to give homage, to come before, to have Him as the one master, the Bible says. And Luke chapter 16 verse 13, no man can serve two masters. Either he'll love the one, or either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God or mammon. There must be one master, one person in your life that you worship and that you serve and that you give homage to. This is the point where we see Satan trying to tempt Jesus. One of the temptations was that he'd receive the worship. Go, turn with me to Luke chapter 4 if you would, but stay there in Joshua. We'll turn back to that book. But look at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And the response of Jesus should be our response, amen? The way he had just simply quoted the scriptures to refute that temptation. Notice beginning from verse 5, and the devil taking him up into a high mountain showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give unto thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I'll give it, if thou what? If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Notice what Christ says. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt what? Worship the Lord thou God, and him thou shalt only, what's that word? Serve. Serving the Lord is worshiping the Lord. One master, one God, not money, not this world, not the pleasures of this life, one King, the Lord Jesus Christ. We serve him. He's our only master. That's what serving the Lord means, to worship Him, to make Him our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's also is to honor Him. To honor Him is to put Him first. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance. And notice these words, and the first fruits of all thy increase. The Bible says in Matthew 6, 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, Paul speaking regarding the church of Macedonia, saying how first they gave their own selves to the Lord. And then he says to the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. Who can remember what the first works were? To love God. To love God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. To have Him first. And the reason we put Him first is because He first loved us. Amen. 1 John 4:19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. There's no way in the world you and I can ever love the Lord without the Spirit of God dwelling within us and us responding to His great grace in our lives. But I want you to see in chapter 24, verse 14 and 15, this is, I really believe, Joshua's major thrust before his departure. He gives instruction with great vigor, great conviction and assurance, and challenges them to be solid in their decision of putting God first. Here are some principles from verse 14 that will help you. Joshua 24, verse 14, notice what he says, now therefore, fear the Lord. You want to be a good servant of the Lord? Well, one thing that you need to do is fear the Lord. Many a times we struggle in knowing what that truly means. We understand that the basis of fearing the Lord is knowing that it is a good thing that we'd fear the Lord. It's wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We understand that. And we see many other things in the Bible resulting in fearing the Lord, or the blessings that we get in doing so. But what does it mean to fear the Lord? Let's turn to Psalms chapter 34, if you would. Psalms chapter 34. And notice with me, if you would, verse 11. Notice what the psalmist says is, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you what? The fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? I really believe this few verses is part of the definition of fearing the Lord and Him teaching us what it means. He says there in verse 14, verse 13, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Now that's another sermon for another time. But it's clearly there that God, and He mentions it in the book of James, that Christian maturity is holding the tongue. And we see at the same time in the Gospels, Jesus saying, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect and matured. Good is when you love your enemies and bless those that curse you, when you hold your tongue, when you keep the peace, when you try to do good to all men. That's fearing the Lord, being sensitive. Being sensitive to the Lord is to be sensitive to the others. To love them. To forgive them. To endure. To pray. To give. The fear of the Lord is to pursue good and peace. And then he goes on to say, not only to fear the Lord, but serve with sincerity. That word sincerity there is entire, completely, with integrity, without blemish, not undefiled, without spot, walking uprightly with all sincerity. I want you to see the question the psalmist had in Psalm 15, verse 1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly. That's the same word of sincerity. He that walketh uprightly, and he that worketh righteousness, and he that speaketh the truth in his heart, to have integrity, to serve the Lord in a right way. And then he says, serve the Lord in truth. You need to have both of these. You need to have integrity and you need to have truth. They go hand in hand. You can't have one and not the other. Integrity and truth. In John chapter 4, verse 24, the Bible says, God is spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Truth is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If you're here today and you don't know yet Christ to be your own Savior, and you may ask the question, how can I get to heaven? If I die right now, how do I know 100% that I'd be with God the Father? Well, there your answer is Jesus Christ. No religion can save you. No good works that you have done, not by works of righteousness which you have done, can save you, but only by the mercy and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he, the just, died for the unjust. The Bible says for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God died for you, that in him you might find life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen? Should not perish is a promise that you can claim, and have everlasting life. That's a promise that you can claim. And if you haven't yet known Christ as your Savior, you can know him today. The Bible says, Jesus says, repent and believe the gospel. Turn around from your ways. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. And the Bible says he will have mercy and he will pardon their sin abundantly. You can have pardon. You can have forgiveness. But you need to return to the Lord. Turn your back on your ways and turning to Christ, his way. He's the only door. There's no other door. Not the door of religion. Not the door of good works. Not the door of growing up in a Christian home. These doors won't do. I was a birth certificate Christian for 24 years. I was a Christian on paper, but I never had a heart or a relationship with God. It was just religion. It was my upbringing until 10 and a half years ago. A friend of mine asked me a question. He said, Charlie, if you happen to die today, do you know where you're going to go? And I wasn't sure. And that night he preached the gospel and he said, God loves you. God wants a relationship with you. He died for it. And that night, 24 years old, I went home and sat on my bed and I looked up to God for the very first time and I said, God, I'm so sorry. Everything that preacher said, I know it's true. I'm a sinner and you're my Savior and I don't deserve you. I don't deserve anything that you've done, but I know you love me. It was the love of God that won me. Did you know that? It wasn't the judgment of God that won me, although the judgment of God put a fear in my heart, but it was the love of God. I couldn't believe my God become a man. It blew me out of the water to die for me. And not only for me, my friend, but God died for you, that in him you would have life, life eternal, and that you'd escape death's penalty, sin's penalty, which is death. God loves you so much. He's not willing that you should perish. He wants you to return and he wants to give you mercy and grace. And that's only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He who hath the Son hath life. And he hath not the Son of God hath not life. See, when you have Jesus in your life, you're on Noah's Ark, my friend. But if you don't have Jesus in your life, you're on the Titanic and your ship's going to sink. I pray that you make a decision today and you receive Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior if you haven't already. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And then truth is found in God the Father. This was Jesus' prayer. And he prayed, God, in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And no doubt truth is found in the very words written in these pages of the Bible. This is our truth. This is our lamp that gives us guidance. This is the light that lighteth our path. This is the truth of God's word. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man in Psalm 1:1. Happy is he that he doesn't get counsel from ungodly things, people, or the movies, or all the rest of it, magazines. But blessed is the man that keepeth meditates on the law. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And the Bible says that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season, and his leaf should not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's because of the word of truth. Meditating, serving the Lord in truth. You want to prosper? You want to prosper in your service, in your worship? God is spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You can have sincerity, but without truth, it's not complete service and worship. You can have truth, but without integrity and sincerity, it's not complete in its worship. You need both. You need to fear the Lord, serve with integrity, with sincerity, and with truth. And you can only do this by God's Spirit. Walking in the Spirit of God will help you be a true worshiper of God, be a true servant of God. And Joshua there in his last stretch is saying, I want you to be fearing God, and I want you to be doing it with sincerity, with integrity, and I want you to hold on to the truth of God's word. And he goes on to say in verse 15, if you would, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers that were on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Who does God call to be true worshippers or true servants of the Lord? Well, it starts with me. Me. Can you sit there and say, as for me, I will serve the Lord. It starts with me. And I must make a solid choice. They were serving the Lord already, but he was calling for a solid decision. And later on, we can't touch on it for the sake of time. But he makes them make a pledge and covenant with their words. He wants a solid commitment, knowing that if he leaves, they're going to continue on with the truth. And he makes them and writes it down, their commitment. In other words, if you say, yes, it's me, I'm going to put my hand up, it needs to be solid. For the Bible says in James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can't serve the God of this world and serve God of heaven. It just doesn't happen. You've got to make a decision and say, I'm over this world. I'm over the idols of this world. I'm over the fashion of this world. I'm over the movement of this world. I don't want anything to do with it. I want to serve the God of heaven. And the decision that I want to make starts with me. He says, draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you. James 4:8. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And Jesus says in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, no man having put in his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. And then it's me and then my house. Fathers, this is your responsibility. That you make a stand to lead your house in the way of the Lord. I really believe Joshua's example in this instance perhaps would have been Moses, but more so Abraham. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 18. When I look at this passage of scripture, there's no doubt that Abraham was an example to me. It's more so in the line of Job and what God says about them. It's amazing when God refers to them and he speaks regarding them about their integrity. You say, wait a minute, I thought we're all sinners. Absolutely. But the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. These men will God fear us. These men will God please us. They were men that were solid in their decision. And God speaks of them. Notice, please, if you would, verse 17 in Genesis chapter 18. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Notice this phrase. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. I know Abraham. He's going to teach his children the way of the Lord. Does the Lord know you? Does the Lord know you that you have made a final decision and that you have been firm in your decision and that you can say with all confidence, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? He says, we will. It's not a debate for Joshua. It wasn't a matter of question. It was, we will. It wasn't maybe one day, we'll see and hope so. It was, no, we will serve the Lord. There's no question. There's no doubt about our decision. It's firm. It's settled. And God wants a settlement from you today. He doesn't want you to be like a roller coaster, up and down, in and out of the world. God wants you. He wants all of you. He doesn't want to share you. He wants all of you. Would you make a decision? Say, God, me, starts with me. And I want to lead my family in the way of the Lord. Teach them to love you, to put you first. I want to teach them by the way. I want to teach them as I walk in the way. Your statutes, your testimonies. Well, in closing, I want to give you a few things that Joshua also mentions before his departure. And I really believe that this will encourage us to remain faithful servants to the end. Now, let me just say this. How you view God will reflect on your worship and service to Him. So in other words, if your worship and your service is nominal, casual, leftovers, you're viewing God in a very wrong way. Because God deserves more than that. God deserves our whole heart. God deserves first. God, you know, when you look at God and His greatness and you see who He is, and you begin to ponder upon the knowledge of Jesus Christ and what He's done and His promises toward you and how much He loves you, your service and your worship to God begins to change. Your attitude towards your commitments, your attitude towards your calling, your attitude towards what God has involved you in the local church as a body and what you do will change when you view God in His true light. I want to encourage you in these final moments to remember God's power. Notice Joshua chapter 23 and verse 3. He says, "And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you." Please note that, underline it, because of you. Because of you. "For the Lord your God is he that fought for you." Joshua chapter 23, beginning from verse 9, notice, "For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase a thousand." God's power. "For the Lord your God, he it is that will fight for you as he hath promised you." There isn't anything too hard for the Lord. God encouraged Joshua from get-go. Notice Joshua chapter 1 verse 9. He says, "Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and be of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Joshua, "I was with Moses and I'll be with thee. And remember, what do you have in thy hand?" "I don't really have a rod, but I do have this. I have the word of the Lord. I have his promises. I have the testimonies of God. I have the statutes of God. I've seen God work. I know. I've seen what God has done. And the same God is the same God as yesterday, is the same God as today. And he'll be the same God tomorrow. Would you trust his power? I guarantee you, when you look at God's power, and he said to the disciples, I'll be with thee, whithersoever thou goest. You can claim that promise. But you need to fear the Lord. Walk in integrity and serve in integrity and sincerity and all truth. And God will be with thee. God will give you the power to continue on to be a servant to the end. But notice Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things that ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember God's promise, power, but second of all, remember God's promise. Notice Joshua 23, beginning from verse 5. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them far out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land, as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Notice please verse 14, and don't miss this. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And ye know in your hearts and in your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the things which the Lord your God spake concerning you or come to pass unto you. They've all come to pass. Not one thing hath failed thereof. Not one. God has never let you down. He's always kept his word. He's never broken a promise, and he never will. God can be trusted. What a God. He's a God of his word, and he keeps his promises. Notice, if you would please, turn to Psalm chapter 37. We're going to be closing with Psalm 37. Do you desire to be a servant of the Lord? To have God's promises, God's will fulfilled in your life, and that you can claim his promises. God's word is true. It hasn't failed, and it won't. And it will come to pass in your life, but only if you trust him. Notice, if you would, Psalm 37, beginning from verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land. And verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Notice verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. That's what we need to do. Commit is to bring it to the Lord. And we understand from James' perspective, he says, ye have not because you ask not. We need to commit it to the Lord. We need to give our lives to the Lord, every decision to the Lord, every area of our lives to the Lord. Commit thy what? Way unto the Lord. And then he says, trust also in him. Leave it there. Don't visit it. Don't get insecure. Don't get shaky. Just leave it there. Leave it in his hands. Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. That word cast is to take it all on him. Leave it there. Don't go back from that time and start fretting and start worrying. That's the opposite of trusting. But wait on the Lord. That's trust. Be of good courage. Trust his integrity. He can be trusted. His promises are true. He loves you, and God is for you. He's not wanting to forsake you. He loves you, but you need to commit it to him, and you need to trust it in his hands, and notice the promise. And he shall bring it to pass. Not maybe, but he shall. He shall bring it to pass. Commit, trust, and God promised that he'll bring it to pass. Notice Joshua 24, verse 16. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. What would be your last words? If you had last words to say to your family, what would it be? serve the Lord with all sincerity and truth, fear God. What a blessing to see Joshua's dying moments, that he would continue to say, because you see moments after, that he was gone, but still had breath to stand and say, I'm just letting you know. And he was an example to them. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In other words, he said, we're going to continue to serve the Lord to the day we die. And they said, God forbid that we won't do the same. Let me record that one. Let us write it down. Let us take it, put it in the book, so you'll be reminded of the commitment that you've made. Let me encourage you this morning. Never make a commitment to God just flippantly. Don't treat your commitments and what you've promised to God and your vow to God like nothing. Don't treat your sacred vows to be nothing. He said, but the years have just gone. I've got bad memory. Revisit your vows. Go back and open the book. Have a look and see. Your vows, those precious sacred vows, revisit those vows. Any commitment that you've done before God and man, whatever a commitment it is, to serve the Lord, to love your wives, to love your husbands, to rear up your children in the way of the Lord. Be courageous. Be strong. Don't be conformed to this world. Cleave to the Lord. Hold fast to the things that are good. Pursue it. Can you say, God forbid that we'll serve other gods. God forbid that we'll dwell in this land and conform to the image of this world. God forbid. No. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray.